Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur Brachos Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara marking system similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Tosfos Dibor Masel Borei Nefoshos Rabois V'Chesronon. Here, the Tosfos will offer an explanation to the bracha text itself. So we bless the Almighty for creating the nefoshes rabos v'chesronon. What is chesronon? Kamoi lechem umayim, she'i efshar b'lohem. In other words, the Almighty created lives, nefoshes, we can translate as people, and he created, along with it, those elements that are needed for their maintenance, their living. And what is included in that? Essential food items, bread and water, without which man would not be able to subsist. The text of the bracha goes on to say, V'al kol ma shebaro lahachiyos bohem nefesh kol chai. Klomar, this means to say, al kol ma sheba'olam, we are acknowledging and blessing the Almighty for everything in the world. Shigam im lo baram, for those things that even had he not created them, yecholim ha'olam lichyos b'lohem. Items that the world, that life could have continued in their absence. Shaloborom ki'im letanud bi'amo, things that were created for giving additional pleasure. So that the bracha acknowledges two things. Those items that are essential for subsistence, bread and water, and those items that are beyond the basic subsistence, but offer pleasure to humanity. Kamoi tapuchim, and the example that Tosfos cites are apples, v'chayotzei bohem, and things like that. Umesayim, and the end of the bracha, the closing of the bracha text, Baruch chei ha'olamim. UbYushalmi, the Yushalmi has a different text, Baruch Ato Hashem Chei Ha'olamim. In other words, there is a standard bracha text, a closing bracha text that accompanies this particular benediction. But the Tosfos quotes the practice that we have of not having the closing bracha text, but simply the closing text, Baruch Chei Ha'olamim, without a reference to the name of the Almighty in the text itself. The next place is Im HaPrusos Kayomois. We saw a Tanaic source that spoke about eating wheat, and wheat that had been ground up, baked, and then cooked. So the source said, about halfway down the page, it said, Im Bizman Shaprusos Kayomos, when the pieces are extant. So the Tosfos says, Yesh Meforshim Dainu Kishalechem Eino Shorui B'mayim Kol Kach, that the bread is not soaked in the water so much, She'im Yikach HaPrusa She'lo Yishover, that he should be able to pick the piece out of the water without it crumbling, without it breaking. So that's Prusas Kayomos, according to Tosfos. The Rashi had said on this, Prusas Kayomos Shaloni Mucho B'Bishulon, that they didn't melt in their cooking. I would say that it's a similar pshat. The next Tosfos, Rashi Pirish Oirez Meal, using a foreign word, most likely a French word, V'yesh Meforshim Rizo, others explain Orez as Rizo, very similar to what we refer to as rice. Ulahai pirush, and if you say that oirez is rizo, then yesh lefarish the doichan hainu meal. Then the other item mentioned along with the orez in the source, the dochan would then have to be translated as meal. But between the two of them, one is, you have orez and dochan, so one is rizo and the other is meal. Tiufta de Rav Ushmuel, be'orez. Rav and Shmuel addressed the brocha on orez and dochan. This we saw as part of a point why we needed the two halachas of Rav and Shmuel that opened up our Daf Yomi, Daf Lamed Zayin Shir, where the need for their two halachas, one of the purposes was to exclude Urez and Doichen, that on those items there would be no Bore Minei Mazonas. In the course of our Gemara, we had raised questions on Rav and Shmuel, and the end of the sugya, the Gemara concluded with a tiyufta to Rav and Shmuel. Now, what aspect of Rav and Shmuel was repudiated? So Tosfos points out that only on the orez point, because the source that was brought in to challenge Rav and Shmuel dealt with orez. It did not mention dochan. So the Tosfos says that tiyufta to Rav and Shmuel ba'orez aval adoichen lo havi tiyufta. We don't see an explicit repudiation of Rav and Shmuel regarding Doichan. They have said on Doichan, no Borei Minei Mazonos. We don't see in the sources cited that on Doichan you shall say Borei Minei Mazonos. The Efshir Davi Yuchzak of Azayhu, Veloma Vruchina, and Ole Borei Minei Mazonos. It could be that the Halacha is like them on Doichan, that you in fact would not make Borei Minei Mazonos. Of course, as we've mentioned many, many times in the course of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, that the Daf Yomi and Tosfos Daf Yomi Shiurim do not purport to convey halacha lemaisa, practical halachic application. But this topic is quite important, and here you see the importance of translation, which we do not commit ourselves to in the case of plants and animals that we don't have solid traditions on. And here you have an example of the murkiness in how to translate Orez and Dochan, where the previous Tosfos mentioned different possibilities. So Tosfos here says that it could be that the halacha is like them, Rav and Shmuel, and you would not make a brocha of Borei Minei Mazonos on the Dochan. The next Tosfos, HaKosis Chita Tzorch Levorech Oleho Borei Pri Hoadoma. The Tanaic source we had seen had said that one who eats unprocessed wheat, he's eating wheat kernels, chewing on wheat kernels and eating them, he'll make a Borei Pri Hoadoma. Now, Borei Pri Hoadoma, we can understand, would be recited on something in its original form. That would be the most likely candidate to have a brocha that is so descriptive. Borei Pri Hoadoma, the kernels of wheat came forth from the ground, and that's what the source is talking about. So Tosfos points out that you want to know how far this original form brocha continues. He says, Sharei afilu bekimcha dechiti amrinon li'el. We saw on Daf Lamed Vav regarding flour made of wheat flour, Mevorchin Olei Borei Pri Hoadoma. It was a machlokes there, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. According to Rav Yehuda, we would say on that kind of flour, Borei Pri Hoadoma, even though the wheat kernels have essentially been ground up. Rav Nachman, so let's go over this last point. Even though they've been ground up, they're still one eats wheat flour, one will still make the original bracha, all the more so in the case of Kaisis Sachita, where the chita is in its original form. Ula Rav Nachman lo svirolei hochi, mishum de ishtenu. Rav Nachman had held there that on the wheat flour you would make a shakol, because of the fact that it changed form, so that the description of Borei Pri Hoadoma would not be fitting for the ground up wheat. But as far as that's concerned, the machlokis there was regarding the flour, not regarding kaisis es achita. Umihu, bela achrov, yesh lesapek. there is a matter of doubt concerning the final bracha. And here, Tosfos makes a point, we'll call it the point that he makes, is the issue that there is a point of doubt. And we've marked this as a long point. You could see the nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text and descending vertical line. So he says that regarding the final bracha, the after bracha, there is something, there's room for doubt. My mevorchen, im mevorchen ala michyo v'al kalkolo, being that wheat is from the different, it's from the species that Eretz Yisrael, that the land of Israel was blessed in, so we know that when consuming that kind of food item, so the me'ein shalosh is used. For example, when one eats grapes, or dates, or pomegranates, so there is a broch of ala eitz v'al priho eitz, which is a me'ein shalosh. Here we're talking about the final bracha on eating wheat. Wheat is actually the first item listed in the pasuk as the land of Israel being blessed with it. So now the issue is, what is the text of the final bracha? Would one say al hamichyo v'al kalkolo misayim al hu adomo v'al pri ha adomo? Dolo ashkichon birchas al hamichyo v'al kalkolo elohecho deboruch olayu bereisha koidem achila bore minei mezonos. The element of doubt is, should we say this text of Al Ho Adoma V'Al Pri Ho Adoma, which we'll see later isn't actually a formal text that is sanctioned in the Shas, but he is raising this as a possibility. But the other side of it is that we don't find the Al HaMichya Brocha, that would be the opening of this, Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkolo. We don't find a brocha opening with Al HaMichya as a final brocha unless the original brocha was Bore Mine Mezonos. And here, in the case of Koisis Zachita, he was saying Bore Pri Ho Adoma, not Bore Mine Mezonos. So where you have an opening brocha of Bore Pri Ho Adoma, there's no precedent for a closing bracha of Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkolo. It's interesting to note that the Tosfos, in suggesting what the alternative bracha might be, is Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkolo, and he doesn't say Al Ho Adoma V'Al Pri Ho Adoma. That he says is only for the closing of the Me'ein Shalosh. But we'll leave that aside as just a curious point. Rabbeinu Tam higia b'machzer shelo. Rabbeinu Tam, in his machzer, which would appear to be what we would call a siddur, he has al ho adama v'al pri adama v'chulei v'chozar bo. Now it's what the Tosfos is mentioning here with adding that word v'chulei. It seems that the Rabbeinu Tam had initially suggested a bracha like we mentioned a moment before, where he would say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Al Ho Adama V'Al Pri Adama V'Al Eretz Chemdo Tova, etc., like we do have when we say Al Ho Eitz V'Al Pri Ho Eitz, etc., and so forth. However, V'Chozar Bo, the Rabbeinu Tam rejected his own idea at a later stage. Why? The lo ashkechon b'shul mokim hach brocha. We don't have a Talmudic basis or text sanctioning that particular version, that text. The lekamen meforish brocha achas mein shalosh. Later in our Masechta, the Gemara explains it details that brocha. The komar b'chameshes aminim, and the Gemara says that on chameshes aminim, the five different types of grain. Al ha'oretz v'al ha'michya, v'al zayin ha'minim, and on the other fruits of Eretz Yisrael, it says al ha'oretz v'al ha'peros. However, v'al ha'adoma v'al pri ha'adoma, lo hizkir, the Gemara doesn't mention that text. So, for me, says Rabbeinu Tam, to come and suggest it without a Talmudic basis is unfounded. The oid mitakomar hocha, al ha'koisis es achita, here in our Gemara, it says regarding one who chews the raw wheat or the unprocessed wheat, mevorach bori pri adoma, the ka'omar behedya, and the source goes on to say, tochan of yofo pas, if one ground it up, baked it in the bread, ad im ein pusas kayomus betchila mevorach bori minei mezonos. And the text went on to say, this is simply quoting the Tanaic source from the Gemara. It went on to say, if the pusas are not kayomus betchila mevorach bori minei mezonos usof broch achas mein shalosh. It went on to detail the different aspects of wheat and wheat product consumption. Umidolokotoni hocha gabi koisis achita mevorach lachar broch achas mein shalosh. It doesn't say, by the case of koisis achita, what the final brocha is. It doesn't go on to say that he would say a mein shalosh after it, but the very same source did detail the after brocha of the other types of wheat consumption, the processed wheat consumption. Here in Pesach Achita, the silence is deafening. We didn't see any reference to a final bracha. Shma mino de bekoseis leko bracha lachrov main shalosh. So we must come to the conclusion that in the case of Pesach Achita, the raw wheat or the unprocessed wheat, there is no final main shalosh bracha. The ha de koma kol shumin dogon vlaso pas. And that which we are taught, anything that's min dogon, and he didn't make it into bread, we saw the a text at the end of this at the end of this omid, something similar to this. So that which we are taught, anything that's min dogon and not made into bread. The Chachomim omrim brocha achas me'ein shalosh, and the Chachomim, as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel, they said brocha achas me'ein shalosh. This, of course, as we said, a reference to the text at the end of this omid that went on to omid beis. Myri, even though there it says anything that's min dogon, and we're talking about kaisus esachita, which is min dogon. Nevertheless, don't conclude from that that by kaisus esachita there should be a main shalosh, because that quote is myri da'avdinu ka'ein daisa. It was made into something like a daisa, which is a type of cereal, ground up grains. The chashiva oz achiloso, whose food significance is more than kaisus esachita. But kaisus esachita chai, chewing on or eating raw wheat, unprocessed wheat, the lo chashiva achiloso kolkach, whose food significance isn't very great. Afagav dihi min chamishas aminim einu mevorach leachrov birocha me'ein shaloi shelo bori nefoshes rabois v'chulei. Since it doesn't have importance in the food scale, it doesn't match a ground wheat that's baked into some baked good, or not even, it doesn't even match a cereal or a porridge made from wheat, therefore it will remain with a mere borei nefoshos. Umiu omer hori shiyesh lesafek shemo chachomim kaili le bahu min dogon vlaso pas v'chachomim omerim broch achas mein shalosh. The Re, though, is not so sure. The Re says that it could be that when the Tanaic source says "Eni kol shehu min dogon v'lo aso pas," they are in fact including the case of kaisus sachita, and there would be a me'ein shalosh. Now, Tosfos says v'nochoin lahachmir she'ein lechol l'kloyos achitim shlukos. The best thing would be that if someone wants to eat roasted grains or boiled wheat, so as to avoid a suffix regarding what the broch achrona might be, he should eat it as part of a meal. As part of a meal in Talmudic literature, in halachic literature, part of a meal means after having washed over bread, and then a person would say Sha'oz birchas hamazon potros, and then his birchas hamazon would exempt them in their need for a final bracha. Im loy nismachu yofe dehavu kemodaisa. If we're talking about cooked wheat that hasn't been mashed and lose its form, when then it would become like daisa, and daisa has a clear bracha achrona. You don't have of me'ein shalosh ala michya, and you don't have to worry about what its final bracha would be then. So this is like the advice of Tosfos, is that when it comes to someone who wants to eat unprocessed wheat, either raw wheat or boiled wheat, and it still maintains its wheat kernel form, because of this suffix of what the bracha achrona might be, it's best to eat it only as part of a meal in which one had washed for bread and will then be making a birchas hamazon, which will cover everything. Ubi Yushalmi Yesh Shigam Ha'amoiroim Hoyu Mesupokim. Yushalmi notches this suffix up one level, not just a suffix in Rishonim, like Tosfos is presenting, but even the Amoraim back in the Zman of the Gemara had a suffix. In other words, their suffix was reflected, was stated. The Ka'amar, it says there in the Yerushalmi, Hodein de Ochil Soiles, Pirush Kloyos, someone who eats roasted grains, Mai Mevorech Besoifa, what should the final brocha be? And then it says, Rav Yirmiya Omar Lo Achlis Soiles Minyoyma, that Rav Yirmiya didn't eat that. It seems that the quote there, even though it's not spelled out over here, but that he didn't eat it from the time that the issue of a doubt came up in his mind as to what the final bracha would be. Nosan Rabon Gamliel Rishus the Rabbi Kiva Levorech. Here we had seen in the Tanaic source in the lower part of the page, Rabban Gamliel, whose opinion was regarding the all Sheva Minim of Eretz Yisrael, the Chita, Soro, Geffen, Rimon, Zeshem, and Vash, all of those items, one would make a Birchas HaMazon as a final bracha for them. He was seen together with Rabban Gamliel and other Rabbonim, and Rabban Gamliel gave the honor of leading in what Rabban Gamliel hoped would be Birchas HaMazon. He gave that honor to Rabbi Akiva. And as we said in our Gemara Shir, the original Zimun scenario was that someone would lead, would say the Birchas HaMazon, and everyone would be Yotze with his recitation of it. So Rabban Gamliel had given this honor to Rabbi Akiva after they had eaten dates. Savur Shehei Mevorech, Rabban Gamliel thought that Rabbi Akiva would mevorach gimel brachas kemo shayosover. He would say gimel brachas is birchas hamazon, like he himself, Rabbi Gamliel, held. Ve'im toimar l'Rabbi Gamliel ha'kai malon de'ein mezamnin al haperos. Well, you'll ask, according to Rabbi Gamliel, isn't it so that we hold that you don't make a zimun over peros? Peros, a zimun is like we said, a situation where many of you are familiar with what a mezumin is, where one, there's a responsive reading before the Birchas HaMazon, Rabosai Nevorech, and then Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorech Me'atov Ve'adolom Birshus Moronon Rabosai Nevorech Shochanu Mishalo. That's the Birchas HaZimun, and then one person reads, meaning he recites the Birchas HaMazon. But is it not so that we hold that you don't conduct a zimun over fruits, and here they had eaten dates? So how was Rabbi Gamliel offering Rabbi Akiva to lead in the blessing final bracha when Eimezam den ala peros of Yeshlomer? So Tosfos answered Rabbi Gamliel, Hoya sober shem mevorach al kol zayin minim gimel bracha shlemus. Rabbi Gamliel held that you would have a zimun, because this concept of ein mezamnin al peros is something when, if you hold that you say al hamichya, that you say only the abbreviated one singular final bracha that we call al hamichya, that's when ein mezamnin. However, Rabbi Gamliel was of the opinion that for all seven minim, all seven varieties of fruits that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, you say a full Birchas HaMazon. What about Rabbi Akiva himself, who did say a bracha, but he said the concise the Me'ein Shalosh Bracha. So Tosfos says the Chibir of Rabbi Kiva Me'ein Shalosh Atzmoi Dafka. He in fact made the final bracha for himself because Ein Mezamnen Al HaPeros. So Rabbi Akiva had no intention of being motzi the others. The kaim alone, ein mezam al peros. The achirim hamesubin, the others that were seated, that were reclining with them, eating together with them. Baruch hu kolecho liatzmo. So that on, it's true we have ein mezam al peros, but that is true only if you're dealing with al hamichya or al ha'eitz, al pris, the concise, the main shalosh. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, who had offered Rabbi Akiva to lead, he was anticipating that a full Birchas HaMazon would have been recited. And concerning Birchas HaMazon, one does have a zimun, where one leads and is exempts and is motzi the others. The in Tomar, the Rabbi Gamliel Domar, Gimel Brachas Shlemas, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that holds that you say a full Birchas HaMazon on the seven varieties of Eretz Yisrael, Usfiru de Mezamnin al Shivas Aminim, and he holds that you have a Zimun over the seven Minim. E Svirole. Now, if you were to add one more variable, the Bracha Tuna Kais, that Birchas HaMazon is said over a cup of wine. So we now create something that is, we get involved with an unending cycle. Because a kais of wine, a cup of wine, is also one of the things Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. So you're going to have someone who's going to say the Birchas HaMazon over a cup of wine. After the Birchas HaMazon, he's going to drink the cup of wine, and he's going to need a, you guessed it, a final bracha. And according to Rambam, what's the final bracha? Birchas HaMazon. Im kein, Yezamnu Le'olam. It's going to be a forever an ongoing process of a zimun going on all the time. He'll finish his Birchas HaMazon for the meal, have the cup of wine. Cup of wine will generate another need for a Birchas HaMazon, according to Gamaliel, because it's one of the Shivas Aminim. You'll have a zimun again, and again another Birchas HaMazon over another cup of wine, on and on and on like that. The Yesh Lomar, the Yocholios Shelo Yishte Klal Min HaKoyis Shel Brocha. One option is that he will hold a cup of wine for the recitation of the Birchas HaMazon, but he won't drink from that cup of wine. V'yimtoymar mikol mokum le'oysor ha'mevorech shu'toyem sorech levorech pa'am acheres v'yimkein ein le'dover soif. Well, you'll say that the one who led the bracha, and if he tastes it, he'll have to make another bracha, and we go back to the problem of ein l'dover soif. He'll then have another Birchas HaMazon and another cup of wine. V'yesh lomar the hecha the eino sheisa bekvius rak mole lugmav moiderem gamliel. It could be that if he drinks a cheekful, which is considered an insignificant amount, Rabbi Gamliel would agree that under those circumstances, you don't say a Birchas HaMazon. The Elo Cain, if you don't acknowledge this, in other words, if you say that every time you drink, even a Malo Lugmav, Rabbi Gamliel will say you have to have a Birchas HaMazon, well, V'chilesle Yomil Broch Achas Mein Sholosh B'Shu Mokom, does he deny that there exists such a thing as an Ala Michya, as an Al Ha'aretz, as the concise one bracha one final bracha? So Tosfos is saying it seems obvious that Ramuel also acknowledges there's such a thing as something called Me'ein Shalosh, and what would the circumstances be forever saying that? So it must be if you, let's say, drink the wine in a non-kvius fashion. The word kvius is associated with kvius suda, for example. Kvius suda is associated with a sitting down to an established meal, and only then do you have a Birchas HaMazon recited. Therefore, if someone, let's say, has a small piece of cake, he doesn't say Birchas HaMazon over that. But if a person has a significant amount of cake, that would be considered a kvius suda, so he would say a Birchas HaMazon over that. So with this, we're able to preserve the approach of Rabbi Gamliel, not that we're paskin like him, but at least we can justify his approach, and at the same time have him, Rabbi Gamliel, acknowledge that there's such a thing as a brocha me'ein shalosh. At the top of Omid Beis, Tosfos Chavitza de'is bei Piurim. Just structurally, let's note that we have a Roman numeral number 1 opposite the first line to the immediate right-hand side of the Tosfos text. We also see a double underlined Pirush Rashi on that line, and this will be in contrast with the Nira Li later in the Tosfos. Opposite that line, you see a Roman numeral number 2, about 3-4 lines from the end of the Tosfos. So the Gemara at this point spoke about a food item called chavitza, and a distinction was made by Rav Yosef whether it has pirurin a kezias or they are not a kezias. So the Rashi says chavitza de is ba be pirurin. Pirush Rashi. Rashi, in explaining what chavitza is, he said, kamo shal naikuk. And regarding that, Rashi said, shemeforin besoch ilfis lechem. It would be bread that's crumbled, and placed in a pan or a pot, so that you have cooked bread pieces. And here, the Gemara made a distinction whether it's the pieces have a kezias or they don't have a kezias. So the Tosfos goes on with a question, and we've marked off the questions with diamonds, as you can see a few of these along the way. The Imtoimar, you might ask, V'hotanya li'el. We saw in a source earlier, Bisman shaprusos v'chule, and the same source went on to say, ein haprusos kayomois. If the prusos are not kayomois, lo yevorech alehem hamoitzi, afagav the isbe kezias. If the pieces aren't, they're not full pieces, even though they may have a kezias to them, you will not make hamoitzi. And yet, Rav Yosef speaks here about the chavitza, and he says if it's less bay pirurin kezias, or let's say if it has its bay pirurin kezias, you will make a hamotzi. So before, in the Tanaic source, it seemed that if the prusos aren't complete slices, complete sections, then you won't make hamotzi, even if there is a kezias. And Rav Yosef says that, well, if there is a kezias, you will make hamotzi. V'yesh lomar, the Tosfos resolves this very simply, Rav Yosef meforish lei, haprusas kayomos. Rav Yosef will explain that Tanaic source that spoke about prusas kayomos, hainu bekezayas. A prusa is said to be kayam if it is a kezayas. V'ein haprusas kayomos, when it said in that source you won't make hamotzi, b'she'ein bohen kezayas. So with that, we resolve Rav Yosef's shita in distinguishing between kezias and less than kezias with the Tanaic source before that distinguished between prusas kayomos versus ein prusas kayomos. In other words, they are one in the same. Prusas kayomos equals kezias, and ein prusas kayomos equals ein kezias. V'chein meforishnami b'Yerushalmi. And thusly, it's explained also in Yerushalmi, the Imtomar, you might ask, the Eich Medame Rav Yosef Pirure Menoches Le Pirure Chavitza. In our Gemara, Rav Yosef has said, Meno Amino Lo. From where do I know my din concerning these cooked pieces of bread? And we then answered, I know my din of these cooked pieces of bread from the case of Menoches. Well, what do we know about Menoches? We know that Menoches were prepared in an oven, and they were, many of them were prepared with oil. So the question is, how can you compare these two different food items when their method of preparation would appear to be so different? Tosfos is asking, reading this again, the Eich Medamer of Yosef Pirurei Menoches Le Pirurei Chavitza. V'yesh Lomar Kevon She Nithagnin B'Shemen. Since the menachos are fried, in oil, kinispashlu domi, it will have the din as if they are cooked. We are, in the context of Gemara markings, as we've mentioned earlier, not dealing with halacha lemaisa, but this is a very interesting topic, the issue of paralleling cooking with preparation in using oil. And this has ramifications beyond the realm of Birchas Hanenin. It also has has ramifications with the realm of Hilchas Shabbos as well, regarding categorizing things as Bishul Achar Bishul or Bishul Achar Afia when you're dealing with things prepared in oil. The issue of quantities of oil comes up, deep fried or just a greased pan, etc. For our purposes, though, we're not going to commit ourselves to any of that level of detail, but suffice it to say that since the mincha, most of the minochas, that is, were prepared with oil, so we can parallel them with the case of the cooked pieces that Rav Yosef spoke about. Omihu kasher. Here's a question that lasts a few lines, and we've used a long question marking for this. To the immediate right-hand side of the Tosis text, you can see the encircled kuf with descending vertical dashed line. So there is a question. Delokat mikulon kezayis. This is a quote from a Tanaic source that was featured in the Gemara. Dekoi achameshes haminim velo amenochas kemo sha'afaresh. Tosis will explain this later in Dibor Masa. Lokat mikulon. The next two Tosuses from now, but for just to focus on Tosus's position, that there's a source in our Gemara, Loka Mikulon Kezayas V'Ochlan. What is Mikulon? It's a pronoun. Tosus says it's a reference to the five types of grain and not a reference to Menachas, as he will prove. V'Hosam Lo Mayri Binis Bashlu. In the case of Loka Mikulon Kezayas V'Ochlan, it is not talking about Nisbashlu. Now, I think that the proof is because it mentions matzah in that source, and matzah is not cooked flour. Matzah is a baked good. It's not talking about cooked. The Gemara in Pesachim deals with someone who, let's say, baked, after baking matzahs, it was then cooked. Is that mevatel the tam matzah or not? But standard matzah is not something cooked. So here in our Gemara, when Rav Yosef is talking all about cooked bread, the source, our Gemara then brings in a source dealing with baked bread. So the question then is, how can you compare these things? Reading the Tosis again. V'hosam lo mayri b'nis bashlu mikol mokoim medame lechavitza shehu mevushal. So, all of this time, we're working with an assumption that chavitza is something cooked. In other words, bread that went through a cooking process. All of this was based on accepting Rashi's pshat that chavitza was shal naikuk. So Tosfos says, but by the fact that that Rav Yosef's chavitza is being discussed in the context of this source, Lokat Mikulon Kezayas, and the source deals with something that's not cooked, therefore Tosfos has a different pshat in chavitza altogether. Lochein Yerali chavitza hainu pirurin hanidbokim yachad ayedei morok ayedei cholav kamo chavitza de tamri shehein nidbokin. Chavitza, according to Tosis, simply are bread pieces, bread crumbs or bread pieces that are stuck together. In other words, that are sticking together. A collection of bread crumbs that are stuck together with milk or with some soup or something, but not cooked in, not bread crumbs that are cooked. And the idea of this of chavitza being something stuck together is borrowed from chavitza de tamri, which is also an issue of dates stuck together. So all in all, we see in this Tosfos a machlokes Rashi and the Tosfos of how to explain the case of chavitza. The next Tosfos, Hay Oimed Makriv Menachas. Pirush Rashi, Balabayas Amisnadev Mincha, a reference to a person, a commoner, who comes to the Beis HaMikdash donating a meal offering. The Dochak Godol Hu. The Pshat of Rashi is difficult. Because the expression dehoya oimedu makriv, that language mashma b'koyin hamakriv, what does it mean? Someone is standing there and offering. The owner doesn't stand and offer. The owner may donate, but the one who offers is the kohen. The chain lishna, and also the expression notlon lochlon, which was in the same source. So who is notlon lochlon? Mashma. The Akoyin Koy, who eats Menachas? Only Koyhanim. That, as opposed to different kinds of meat sacrifices that in some cases by a Shlomim, etc., they do eat, by Minchas Kodesh Kodoshim, only a Koyin is allowed to eat from that. So the Hemshech, the continuation of the source, is pretty clear that you're talking about a Koyin. Therefore, from the beginning, we're talking about the Koyhanim. V'nireh, b'Koyin ho'oimed lahakriv rishon b'mishmarto. You see, part of the thing that, let's say, led Rashi to his pshat is the fact that it says in the source that this Hoya Oymer Makriv is making a Shechiyonu. And a Shechiyonu is a brocha that's recited on something that happens on an infrequent basis. So the person coming once in a long time to bring a Korban Mincha, that would be something that's not on an ongoing basis. But a Kohen, you'd think he's there every day in the Beis HaMikdash, so the term Shechiyonu that was mentioned in the source doesn't apply to, it doesn't sound like we're talking about a Kohen. So, but Tosfos resolves that problem. If the Shechiyonu Brocha is what may have led Rashi to his Pshat, that's not sufficient. We're talking about the Kohen who is offering the Hakriv Rishon Mashmi is like the first Kohen in his service group to offer a mincha. And you'll say, what's the connection between that and a Shechiyonu? The Chof Dalid Mishmoros Hoyu. There were 24 service groups of Kohanim in the Klal Yisrael. The Chol Shabbos Mishadeshes Mishmor Acheres. Every week a new Mishmor would come. So if you have 24 Mishmoros amongst Klal Yisrael, and every week a new Mishmor would come to serve, in came Kol Mishmor Eina Mishameres. Maybe the text should be mishameshes, but he's making a verb form out of mishmar. So eino mishameres elo shnei pa'amim b'shana. Every mishmar would come to serve twice a year, twice meaning 2 weeks out of the year. The kevon shiyeshlam zman kavua, and since these 2 weeks of the year were at fixed times during their, each one knew the week they would serve. So it's something that comes at a fixed time, like the holidays come at fixed times. Mevorchinon Shechiyonu. It's reasonable for Kehanim also to recite Shechiyonu. Velo kepirish Rashi de Menachas de Meir B'Koyin Shel Hikriv Molem. Rashi in Menachas deals with this, and he says that the Shechiyonu is recited by a Kohen who is offering a korban or a mincha for the first time in his life. And here you don't have to come on to that rather extreme scenario, but simply every mishmar, when they would come at their assigned time during the year, that would be enough reason for a Shechiyonu bracha to be recited. Lokat mikulan, we saw in the source discussing the hamotzi. And he took together a lot of pieces, a lot of crumbs, until they all equaled one kezias in quantity, one olive quantity, and ate them. Pirush Rashi, dekoy aminochas, that this Tanakh source is going on, someone gathering together pieces of a mincha that were the minochas part of their process was after they were baked, they were then broken into small pieces. So Rashi learns, Lokan Mikul, and he gathered together the crumbs of a mincha that had to be crumbled. The lo nihira. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat. Yim kein hechi komar, how could it say in this source, de'im chometz hu, that if it were chometz. V'ho amrinon, it's taught in Maseches Menachos, called Menachos Bois Matzah, that Menachos came as non-chometz. V'nire dekoya chameshis minim. So Tosfos has his own pshat, that the lokat mikulon is going on, he gathered together crumbs from something, from items made from the five types of grain. Va'achi ko'omar, lokat mikol mine l'chomim kezayas. In other words, if you had a wheat bread, and you had some barley bread, and spelt bread, and oats bread, and he took a little bit of each one of these different kinds of chameshis aminim, so that would... That would be the example of this source. And if the, notice, if all the pieces of the different types of grain pieces that he baked good pieces that he gathered would be a kazayas, and then the halachas of this source would apply. So according to Rashi, the lokat mikulon is going on pieces of a mincha, and according to Tosfos, lokat mikulon is pieces of different kinds of grain variety baked goods. Omar Rava, v'hu de'ika olei turisa denama. Rava was commenting on Rav Sheshes' halacha, who said that even if the pieces don't have a kezias in quantity, there still could be a birchas hamotzi. Rava said that is qualified only if it has turisa denama. V'chein kaimolon, Tosfos says we will rule like that, that the kezias quantity is not me'akev for a hamotzi lechem bracha being recited. Why do we hold like that? The Rava Basra, Rava, as far as these different opinions in our sugya, was of a later generation. V'lo bo'inon shiu b'pirun kezayis kevon di'iko terisa d'nahama le'inyin hamotzi v'afilu nizbashlu. We don't require that the pieces have a kezias, since they have turisa denahama, they will generate a birchas hamotzi, even if they were cooked lepirush Rashi, according to Rashi's explanation. Now Tosfos here is alluding very likely to what he mentioned in the top Tosfos of this page, where Rashi held that the shalnei cook, which was the heading of our current discussion, the chavitza, which Rashi explained, the shalnei cook were cooked pieces. So what we are saying here is that if you accept Rashi's pshat, so cooked pieces that are less than an olive quantity in size, if they have turisa denama, they have the appearance of bread, they will generate a need for birchas hamotzi. V'ha demashma b'yushalmi deprusas kayomois hain b'kezayis. In the Yerushalmi, the expression prusos kayomois sounds like it is a kezayis. And this expression is from a Tanaic source that we saw earlier. It was ima prusos kayomois, eina prusos kayomois. So from Yerushalmi, it sounds that that expression prusos kayomois hain b'kezayis, and the Tanaic source earlier said, and then you will make a hamotzi. And here you have an amoira saying that even on less than a kezias, you're going to be making hamotzi. So that would represent a problem. Once again, that prusas kayomos of the Tanaic source, according to Shami, sounds like it must be a kezias. And only then will there be hamotzi. So Tosfos explains or resolves that you don't have to be so limited or constrained in your interpretation. And he says the reason Yerushalmi says Prusas Kayomos is because I hainu lefi shekein derech lios turisa dama b'kezayis. Normally something you'll be able to establish a bread appearance if you have an olive quantity of foodstuff. Avol Amim, sometimes Dafil Bepochas Migazai is equal to Risa Dinama. Even when there's less than an Aleph quantity there, you can still perceive or recognize it as bread. And we gave an example earlier as something like crotons, which, assuming that crotons are derivatives, they were originally a loaf of bread that was broken down into small pieces. So those pieces are smaller than a kazayas, as an olive in olive size and quantity, but yet you can recognize them as coming from bread. So that, as far as Tosis is concerned, the Yerushalmi's explanation of Prusas Kerm as being Kazayas is something called Lav Dafka. Simply, that was the normal situation, the assumption being that less than a Kazayas will be hard to recognize it. But nevertheless, if you can recognize it, as Rava says, that will still generate a need for a Hamotzi. And the Yerushalmi would agree with that too. To Riso Dinamo, that term, Nira Dahainu, if you place bread pieces in water, if the water takes on a whitish hue to it as a result of the pieces being soaked in it, that would constitute the departure, the exiting of the leaving of the appearance of bread. The bread appearance would be lost at that point. So that it all depends on Teresa Dama, and as a result of this, we have a very interesting comment. The Chain Hoya Rogil Rabbeinu David Mimitz Lishrois, that means the Rabbeinu David from Metz, would soak Lishrois Pirurin B'mayim Kol Halayla, he would soak pieces of bread, or bread crumbs, bread pieces in water all night, and then eat them in the morning. We have a bracketed session. Skip for a moment. Why would he do this? After eating the soaked bread pieces in the morning, he would give him a strength so he can concentrate and then deliver his halacha lecture. Let's just go over this line again with the bracketed section. He would soak his pieces in bread over the night. Kidei l'ochol in b'shachar. B'loi birchas ha-moitzi u'b'loi birchas ha-mozoin. Shelo li'achir. So he wouldn't be delayed. Because of time considerations. So that he wouldn't fall under the time constraint posed by a birchas ha-mozoin, which is a longer after bracha than an al ha-michya. He circumvented the birchas ha-mozoin requirement by having the nutritional benefit, while at the same time not encumbering a birchas hamazon requirement. Very interesting, wouldn't you say? In fact, you know, to this very day, there are people that make all kinds of attempts to avoid saying birchas hamazon because of time constraints and the rush that people find themselves in. Nothing new. The next Tosfos, lechem he'osi lekusach poter min hachala. We saw in our Gemara at the end of our Daf Yomi Shir, a section that was dedicated to the topic of hilchis chala, and in that chala being the tithe of dough removed and given to a kohen, and it mentioned that bread that was made for kusach is exempt from the chala tithe. V'hainu kisha'asa'o kelimudim. This term was in the Gemara at the very top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. When can you establish bread was made for the kusach? And the kusach, we explained, was a dairy type of, was used as a dip where bread was mixed with milk that was sour milk, and it was a very strong, a pungent type of dish, popular in the time of the Gemara, especially in Bavel. In fact, elsewhere it's called Kusach HaBavli. So bread that's prepared for the Kusach is exempt from challah, and that is when it's made kelimudim, upirush Rashi. isa shemiyabshim bechama. Rashi explained it's dough that's dried out in the sun. In other words, not baked in an oven, as Rashi said explicitly at the bottom of this omid in the Gemara. Bottom of this omid of Gemara. Vekoshe. Tohamrina v'maseches chala. Kol shetchilosu isa v'seifes suvganim chayovin b'chala. There are concepts that are presented here in shorthand form, but are very significant in Hilchis Chala and is featured in Maseches Chala, Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey. That which begins as Esau. Esau is dough that is of a thick type of consistency as opposed to a loose batter. If something starts off like that, the soifoi suvganin. This is a very, very abbreviated term, soifoi suvganin, but it would mean for us something that will not be baked in an oven. In other words, it begins as a thick batter, thick dough, but not end up getting baked in an oven. It says chayovin bechala. So if you focus here on the Rashi says the reason there's an exemption of challah is because it's not baked in an oven. So, but you look in the Mishnah Challah, it says, like you say, so what, it's not baked in an oven? If it began as a thick batter, that's enough to mechayev it in challah. V'chol shetchilas suvgan v'sofer isa, chayov enami b'chala, which, again, this is shorthand, but it means that anything that begins as sufgana means it's a loose batter, a liquidy type of batter, not as called a blila raka, and soifa isa, but baked in an oven, chayovin nami b'chala, would also generate the need for a chala tithe. And a third category, v'shetchilasa v'suvgan v'soifu nami suvgan, was a loose batter, not baked in an oven, potter min chala, only then you would have an exemption from chala. But the lechem ha'osik lekusach, as far as Rashi's explanation is concerned, would not be potter min chala. And yet, and that's the question. So this is a difficulty that Tosis presents according, you know, to Rashi's pshat. Unfortunately for us, we're going to be encountering a lot of terms, most likely Germanic terms, being that the Bali Tosfos related to the German language, maybe with a French influence as well, but these are terms, and in Gemara markings, Daf Yomi, Gemara and Tosfos Shum, we do not commit ourselves to translations of food items, plants, and animals, unless we have a solid tradition. So one can research these things further if it really arouses their immediate curiosity. So Rabbeinu Tam says, "Im kein be naivlish v'risholish de tchilosan isa." These are goods that are from some type, they're dough-related goods, food items. They begin as Esau. In other words, if they're a thick type of batter, mevorchin aleim hamoitzi v'chayovin b'chala afal pi desoifan suvganim. Even though their method of preparation is such that they're baking, their method of being baked is not in an oven. At first, Rabbeinu Tam thought to say, or wanted to say, "Didafke chayovim bechala," meaning only chala, but not hamotzi. What you see, we should emphasize, and we will try to do this with emphasizing with a marking Rabbeinu Tam's name. We're coming off of a psak of Rabbeinu Tam that said that on regarding the Naivlish and the Risholish, who's characterized by being Tchilos Anis and Soifus Suvganin, you will make a Birchas Hamoitzi and there will be a Chiyuv Chala. Those are two points again, the Birchas HaMotzi and the Chiyuv Chala, even though the way they are prepared is such as called sufganim, meaning not in an oven. However, what's this psak of Rabbeinu Tam has a history to it, a background to it, where Rabbeinu Tam originally thought the dafka chayovim bechala and not the hamotzi, the mitzvah chala, because the mitzvah of chala is be'oidon isa. That's established when it's in the dough form. That's at that point that you tithe it. Dechtiv ariso sechem. The word ariso sechem has to do with dough. V'hoyel shahoyu mitchilo isa chayavim bechala. Since they originally were isa, was a thick batter. So that at that point the chala chiyuv is established. Avo min hamoitzi pturin. This is what Rabbeinu Tam used to think, but as far as hamotzi is concerned, they would be exempt. The achshav heim sufganim, because right now it is prepared in a sufganim fashion, meaning not baked in an oven. V'lo inahira, but that is not plausible. It doesn't appear to be accurate. The holy ale katani. Before we had learned earlier, we had learned in a source notlon leochlon mevorach aleim hamotzi gabi mincha. In that was in the Tanaic source that began with the words in the middle of the page hoy oimedu makriv, and in the middle it said notlon leochlon in the context of a mincha afapi de achshav hein sufganin. Why is that? Why are they called sufganim? Shamanochas mitugonois b'shemen, because they are fried in oil, and fried in oil is not the same as baked in oven. That, however, did not make a difference with regard to the halacha of or the bracha of hamotzi, So that shows from a Tanaic source that what Rabbeinu Tam originally thought, that there should be only a challah requirement and not hamotzi, is untenable. Once again, the Rabbeinu Tam's original thinking was that since it's soifei sufganim, that will have an effect on the hamotzi. You see from the case of the menachas, you have a soifei sufganim category, and yet it still does have hamotzi. Another food item, the rim shayish, afagav the chayovin bechala shoyu isa mitchila. Here you have, we'll call it I don't know if we should call it an exception or a departure from the rule. Here you have something that started off as chala, chayovin bechala. Why? Because it was isa mitchila. It was a thick batter. Nevertheless, here's an example like pturin mehamotzi. It will be exempt from hamotzi. Vein mevorchem aleim al aborim min rezonis. As far as the first bracha is concerned, it will be only aborim min rezonis. And why? Not because it's prepared as sufganim, but simply the less lu to raisa dinahama. It doesn't have a bread look to it. And as a result, the achartach birchas mein shalosh ala mikveh al kalkola. The Turisa Dinahamo is a major consideration in establishing the Birchas Hanenin. So here you see a split, so to speak, where something does have a Chiyuv Chala, but that's not Mechayiv, the Birchas Motzi Lechem Ha'aretz being recited over it. Rabbeinu Yechiel Zal, Hoya Mesupak, we're continuing, and the Tosis continues on to Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph. Rabbeinu Yechiel Zal Hoya Mesupa Tap of Lamed Chesom and Aleph. He was in doubt im Varm Shayish, and the Varm Shayish, just to note, is the item we had just discussed, three lines from the bottom of previous Amid, where Tosfos had said, even though it's Chayiv and Chala, here Rabbeinu Yechiel is in doubt. Is Mesupak im Varm Shayish is Chayov and Bechala? Mishum desnan There is a Mishnah that says that one who prepares dough with the intention of dividing it into smaller units, there is no challah requirement because it lacks the minimum quantity of dough for a chiyuv requirement. In other words, he's preparing a dough with the intention immediately of dividing it. Imkain hocha gabi vamshayish nami pomim mechalkon shoy mesimen shiur challah bikdeira achas. Let's go over this again. He would the dough was prepared. It seems that a significant quantity was prepared, but when it was placed in the pans for baking, it was known ahead of time that you would have a small amount placed in each pan. As he says, She'ein mesimin shiur challah b'kedera achas. Ach hoyamatzrich, nevertheless, Rabbeinu Yechiel did require lika challah b'loy bracha b'shvil ha'sofek. Because of this doubt, he said, let's take off the challah anyway. V'chol davar shetchilasoi suvganin v'soifoi isa chayovin b'challah u'behamotzi. Things that begin as sufganim. That would mean it would be a loose batter, the sofu isa, but it's baked in an oven, would be chayav in chala, the chala tithe, u behamotzi. And also the hamotzi, the first bracha would be hamotzi, the kaimelon k'Rabbi Yochanan perakol shah. We hold like Rabbi Yochanan in Maseches Psachim, even though he is part of a machlokes. We hold like him, the Pligi Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish b'maisa ilfis. They argue regarding goods prepared in an ilfis. An ilfis is a pan. Upligi, they have a machlokes b'blilosei raka. Their machlokes concerns something that's a loose batter. The hainu tchiloso, that is the example we just had of tchilosei sufganin, that's a loose batter. V'sofo isa, im nefe betanur o bekira o beilfis beloy mayim v'shemen. So we have a loose batter that's prepared in a tanur or a kira. Kira is a different type of it's a type of oven. O beilfis, or in a pan without below mayim v'shemen. In other words, it's in a pan but not cooked in water nor in oil. The Reish Lakish svirale. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that there would be no chiyuv chala unless it's baked in an oven, in a tanur. And as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, that's what the Mishnah is referring to when it talks about tchilasos sufganin and sofa isa, that is chayav and chala. But if is potter, but if it were prepared in a pan, if it were baked in a pan, according to Reish Lakish, it would be exempt from chala. Rabbi Yochanan mechayev. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that it's obligated to be tied. The maisilf is seifi sekrina bay. Being baked in a pan is, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, also under the category of sofo isa. So to the machlokes Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan concerns the definition of sofo isa. Reish Lakish limits it to something baked directly on the walls of a tanur, of an oven. Maybe some of you are familiar with the method of baking, the original or old method of baking pita bread, where dough is slapped onto the sides of an oven. That's something that would be called baked in an oven, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned. But baked in a pan, in an ilfis, that, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, is not called sofo isa. Rabbi Yochanan says it is considered sofo isa. Then, reading from Rabbi Yochanan, Mechayev, the Maisilfis, Soifi, Sokrina Bey. Rak Shelo, you Mashkin Bilfis, as long as there isn't a liquid environment in that pan. In other words, the halacha would be different if the dough were boiled in water in a pan. And thusly, you see in the Yerushalmi, kol she'ur tachtov chayv b'chala, things that are baked in an environment where the heat is coming from underneath is called, on that there is a chiyuv chala, mevorchim lo hamotzi, and a brichas hamotzi is also required. So that from Yerushalmi you see, like Rabbi Yochanan, that if something is, even though it may be in a pan, but the ur, the fire, is coming from underneath, there is a chiyuv chala, as well as a chiyuv brichas hamotzi. Aval, another food item, anilish, ein mevorchen olav hamotzi, delohavi elo gubla bi'alma. This food substance, food item that yours truly is not familiar with, but whatever it is, you don't make on it a hamotzi, because all it is gubla. Gubla, the gabel, is to knead. It's simply dough that's kneaded. Umiu im kova sudasale, kamo bepurim, if someone would have this anilish and have his meal established or based on it, in other words, eat a significant quantity of this anilish, that would be considered kviyus suda, like is done on Purim, mevorech hamotzi, then you would make hamotzi. V'chol davar shetchilasu suvganu v'gam soifoi, things that begin with a loose batter, and their method of preparation is through boiling, let's say, or deep frying, kagon hani suvganin shemetagnos b'shemen shekoren bunaish pturin min achala. Now, there are things, if I'm not mistaken, things like donuts, or some, in many cases, are I don't know, donuts maybe is a hard case, but it depends on the in order to fit into this definition of the Tosfos, it's things that are tchilasos sufgan, a rather loose, something that has a rather loose batter, and at the end also it's deep fried, like bunaish. Well, that would be exempt from challah. So if you run into something that has a loose batter and then poured into a deep fry situation, it will not be required to have a challah tithe separated from it. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Daf Yomi Shiur for today.